This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The hurt doesn't show, but the pain still grows. Some strangers to you and me. Did it.
You know what songs everybody knows?
Miami Vice is on like the Esquire Network. I don't even know what the number is. I got on DirecTV. So in the morning, I wake up and I watch Miami Vice. The episode was on the other day where I think it's Ted Nugent or Jeff Fahey blows up the Ferrari, the original one, the black Ferrari.
Yeah.
And it's like that's the meme where Sonny takes off the sunglasses. You know, he's like stunned. But anyway, yeah, Miami Vice, again, a part of our childhood, the 80s. And this was a huge part of it. Michael Mann went on to do a gazillion movies, but this was a big part of that. Phil Collins was even on the show.
At one point he was.
Yeah, played a couple episodes, actually.
We were talking about this because Mike Conti had brought up that Phil Collins played the Super Bowl, and we were saying, oh, then he performed this song. And Mike Conti was like, no. And then Mike looked up how long the song is, because like the extended remix is like 18 minutes.
Right.
Right? The intro on that song is like, the buildup is incredible, but it takes forever. So that's what brought us to that song. Thank you, Sam Charlie. Good job, man. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. 404-741-0929 is our text line for you to get involved in the conversation. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Dogs, who are losing another quarterback, by the way. And, you know, I don't know if Dog fans are panicking, Sam. I just think that this is what has been going on and what's happening right now. But you have Justin Fields, who transfers, and then, you know, you're losing another kid in Matthew Downing, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But, yeah, I don't think this is a reason to panic. You still need depth, though. And worst-case scenario, think about this. The Dogs went from having Jacob Eason, right, the number one quarterback in the country, and you got Fromm, who was very good. I don't know if anybody thought he'd be this good in college. And you had a good backup. And then all of a sudden, Fromm's the guy. And then you get Justin Fields, and just in case anything happens, you got a good backup. Well, who's the backup now? Who's the backup to Fromm that you feel good about, that you go, all right, if something happens, God forbid, we're going to be okay?
Let's talk to a Georgia boy, Samwell Tarley.
Yeah,
what's the depth chart?
We're doing just fine at quarterback. Stetson Bennett will probably win the backup job.
Great.
He's
who?
The guy. Stetson Bennett.
Stetson, who? Make love to me. I can't. Honey Fields is a Buckeye.
He's one of us, Carl.
He's one of us. He's one of us.
We got Fromm, and now we got Stetson. I like our lineup. I'll hang up and listen.
And then, of course, the dual threat guy that we flipped out of Michigan, Dwayne Mathis, who we got the last second when the news was that Fields was heading out of town. He was an Ohio State commit.
Wait a minute.
And
we're
they got the kid. They got the Reese, the hyphenated kid that's going to maybe blue shirt.
Wait a minute. You
John
have
Reese
a lot,
Plumlee.
You have a lot of confidence here in that these kids will just be able to jump in, God forbid again, if something happens. You feel that good about, do you feel as good about those guys as you did Fromm or Justin Fields for that matter?
Well, we can't push it that far, Carl.
Okay,
we
got
to, you know, bring it up to a certain point.
Thank you. Yes. That's what I'm saying. I mean, the Dogs, they have had a wealth of,
oh, you know what? Just finish. They're fine. Fromm's fine. They got guys. They'll be all right. Just finish the damn game. Finish off Alabama. You'll have maybe
they
one or two championships.
They don't have guys. You say that. He's trying to pump these guys up. You've never heard of them.
Dwan is ready to roll. No, he was a four-star guy out of Michigan. And the Reese Plumlee guy, he's another four-star.
Dwan. Yeah.
Dwayne.
Let's talk Dogs, man.
And Bell on the sidelines with the Dogs.
It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox, guys.
Yep, Brightbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. If you need a man cave or backup generators, anything for your home or office, these are the guys to call, 770-901-2500. You were asking about the backups. Well, we'll never get to know what Matthew Downing would have been. Could he have been like Chase Bryce for the Clemson Tigers? He's never pressed into service. He's moving on down the road, TCU. I'm not sure if he's going to get a scholarship, but his brother Michael plays here. He started Alpharetta High School, did Matthew Downing, who's leaving the Bulldogs.
Yeah, that's the other quarterback that's leaving, and that's what brings us to the conversation about, okay, you've had a wealth of talent there at that position. Hadn't been a problem. I mean, I don't think any Dog fan was worried, even though we didn't see enough of Justin Fields, and we that's a discussion that'll go on for years. You felt like if he was thrown into action, Mike, that you were going to be okay. Obviously, he came with the credentials of being the, you know, number one or two quarterback coming out of his class in the country. Either way, the Dogs looking at their roster, and they're going to have to add some depth, not only just a quarterback. I think, you know, if they feel good about it, Mike, there are other positions that we'll talk about. Meanwhile, there is a lot of quarterback movement around college football, and we've been talking about this. So Austin Kendall, all right, just a backstory here. He was initially being blocked by Oklahoma, and they were saying, no, you can't go. Kid wanted to go to West Virginia out of all places, which, again, you're not going to Texas. So he's a graduate transfer, Mike, but apparently the Sooners are now giving him the go-ahead and relented and now will allow him to play for the Mountaineers next season.
Now, remember, for those who don't remember, Dana Holgorsen's no longer at West Virginia. He got a big money offer to go down to Houston to be the highest-paid non-Power 5 conference coach, and they've got the coach from Troy, Neil Brown, has gone up to West Virginia. So maybe he was a part of recruitment of the young man at some point. But either way, the young man decides West Virginia's where he wants to go, and initially they were blocking him because it's in conference. We've seen this before. You know, whether it's a coach who's leaving your staff to go down, like, you know, Kirby didn't want to see guys traveling, you know, en masse to go down to Miami when Rick got the job in at the Hurricanes. But anyway, after initially getting some really bad optics for blocking this kid, they're going to let him go now.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I don't know. If you were a coach, what would your criteria be? Would it be just to your rival, or would you be one of those guys who says, listen, I don't want to see you in my conference. You can go anywhere but in the conference. Would you be one of those guys?
Sweet dreams, son. Good luck in Yakima, Washington. No, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's your prerogative as a coach, but now, you know, I think nowadays – we're such a litigious society. If you're not going through the portal, you know, if you try to block somebody, somebody's going to lawyer up on you these days, too. Surprised that hasn't happened sooner.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think sometimes it's petty, though, Mike. I mean, honestly, kid's not playing for you, and yet you don't want him to go anywhere else and play to maybe beat you. Right. If you're going to get a chance to see him, let him go wherever. I mean, if the kid pans out, that's great. But I know coaches sometimes are petty like that. Speaking of coaching, Alabama's losing another coach on their staff.
Yeah, and this one broke after we got off the air yesterday. And for those who are not familiar, it is another Alabama coach. The defensive coordinator is rolling out. And I just lost my place on my damn computer. Sorry about that. Tosh Lapoy is going up to be the Browns. What's his position going to be? Oh, he's going to be D.C., so it's a nice upgrade. You're getting a bigger check. So Lapoy goes up to Cleveland. So now, if you go back and look at it, there's, what, two guys left on the Alabama coaching staff from the 16th season? That's insane. You know, it's one thing, Carl, for everyone to say, well, Nick Saban just simply reloads. But think about it. You lose Loxley over to Maryland. You lose Lane Kiffin back in the day. You've lost wide receivers coaches. You've lost linebacker coaches, defensive back coaches off the 16 and 17 team. And it did come back to bite you because you start to lose some recruits because in the transfer, and for instance, who was it? Clemson's wide receiver, whether it was the big star this year. Justin was making some big plays. Yes.
Oh, Ross.
Thank you. Ross was an Alabama player who, because of part of the transition and the turnover of the coaching position, he winds up in Clemson. So for all the people that keep saying, well, you know, Saban will be fine, Dabo's got his guys on lockdown. He's not losing guys in droves the way Alabama is every year.
No, I mean, we've discussed this. I think, again, until I see Alabama fall off, I think Nick Saban has done a terrific job of judging who to bring in and when to bring them in. Even the Lane Kiffin hire was like, what? And it worked. You know, you were playing for another chance and another championship.
He plugs in with Sark, and we thought Sark did a hell of a job. Like, all things considered, despite the fact, you know, we argued a lot about offensive line and what we did or didn't do, I don't think you could argue that Sark did a bad job under the circumstances this season.
Well, listen, I think he had an argument, if he even got an opportunity to discuss it. You know, we don't know if Dan Quinn and the owner are sitting at one side of the table and Sark's on the other, and he's like, all right, let me give you my case. But you're right. I mean, he could have legitimately argued, all right, listen, I lost both of my guards. The O-line is not up to par, and so, you know, this is what it is, and look what we still did with the numbers. But, Mike, I think Alabama, this is, I've said it, the brilliance of Nick Saban. Until they fall off, his ability to point out the right guy, find the right guy, bring him in, and trust him, and the talent continues to roll in because it's Nick Saban. They're right there. But
you agree with me, though. I mean, you did see it. I mean, Justin Ross, the guy I mentioned, it's not just him. When you do have that kind of turnover,
it changes
with recruiting. It can create a dynamic, and certainly, you know, just like we heard from, it's not just everybody who's going through the recruiting process realizes, oh, now these coaches are full of crap. But you know, coaches move. Coaches might recruit you and be gone, as we're seeing. You know, so I mean, the reality of the college football world is you're going to move to Alabama. You're getting a job in the pros, or you're going to make a jump to the next level. You know, you're going to go from a position coach to the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. So certainly, you know, it's a great pedigree. All those guys are kicking butt. But I do think you can't just poo-poo it and say, oh, Saban will be fine.
Do you think Freddie Kitchens called Saban on this? because he's an Alabama guy through and through. And maybe said, hey, you have any suggestions for the D.C.? And maybe Saban suggested Tosh. I mean, those things happen, and that's the part of this where you just go, people are, you know, stealing these assistants. I don't know. I mean, I think Saban has helped other guys around the league and certainly in college football to get jobs. This quarterback thing, getting back to the portal, which is just, mm-hmm. you know, people, everybody's talking about, now we're more aware. But you got Jalen Hurts, Austin Kendall, Fields, Tate Martell. This is Kelly Bryant, all these guys now. And Mike said this the other day, and it really, you know, it didn't dawn on me, but he said, this is going to change recruiting. Because now you're going to have guys who have playing experience. All these guys are not going to be graduate transfers, but playing experience, big-time college level. And, Mike, you want to talk about being re-recruited and getting a quarterback that maybe you missed on in the recruiting cycle. You can go do that now. This could also be a guard. This could be a wide receiver. It varies, but it's quarterbacks that we're talking about. Mm. I do think that you're onto something there.
By the way, yesterday we had that story. You guys might have seen it by now. There was a correction on it. It was Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma quarterback signee, saying that he was misled by Lincoln Riley about transfers. There was clarification on that. It was nobody after Hurts, right? It was either Hurts or Fields. So the two guys that might be transferring in. Because initially it sounded like he was misled, saying no one else is going to be transferring. Right. I was told no one was transferring. Well, Jalen Hurts is going to have it. Now, here's the thing. What if this kid Spencer Rattler comes out and balls out in spring ball? I mean, obviously, you know the reputation of Jalen Hurts. Some guys feel he's just simply a game manager with more athleticism. Some guys think he's not exactly the best fit for Oklahoma. We'll see.
We will. It is our report, guys. We do it every day. We go on the sidelines with the Dogs, but we talk college football. We kind of go around and let you in on what's happening. It's brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man. BrightBox Electrical, 770-901-2500. You're looking for a man cave, home security, home monitoring. They do it all, man. Call them up today.
Hey, coming up in less than 10 minutes, you're going to hear Trae Young and what he had to say about competing in the NBA. Interesting stuff here on the radio station today. And Kevin Herter, who was also a big part of this draft, I think he's going to be one of those building block pieces that, you know, we talk about glue guys. That's kind of what I see with Kevin Herter. He's not going to be a superstar. I don't expect that. But he is a glue guy. Makes shots when you need him to. You know, makes the necessary pass, can D up. So you'll hear from him as well as we'll get into some NBA conversation about our Hawks and what else is going on in the NBA. Meanwhile, as we talk college football, by the way, you know, all this movement, I just think it brings more interest to the game in the offseason. I really do. I'm not telling you, you know, that there wasn't already interest with recruiting and National Signing Day, but with the early signing period, you know, all that buzz we used to get leading up to February is kind of gone.
Now, but for all the guys out there that are really locked in, and this is something we talked about with Dari Noka when he was on with us about this time yesterday from SEC Network, you still got to get the building blocks, you got to get the running backs, you got to get the, you know, the linemen, the linebackers, but the quarterbacks are always the bell cow of your draft class, and that's where you're always going to get the most interest. But certainly now, it's almost like the paper's not worth, it's not worth the paper it's signed on, because you can get in there, find that so-and-so left, or, wow, that other five-star guy is really good. So I just think we're going to see, this is the shape of things to come. We're going to see more and more guys transferring out, especially now because the NCAA was always the obstacle.
Yeah.
You know, you had to sit out a year, and then especially if you're like a junior, well, crap, I'm not going to get to the NFL until I'm 23 or something. Now you got the NCAA signing off on this because they want to maintain viability. They're not fighting these.
No.
Now the kid, Tate Martell going to Miami, he's got a load of hooey because to say you've got some kind of a hardship, the offensive coordinator you worked with for 2 years is now your head coach. It's not like there's a change in the regime. So that'll be harder in my mind for him to get that to pull off. Justin Fields has got, you know, valid reason.
I agree. I just think Tate Martell's full of crap to begin with. But, yes, this excuse that he's trying to pull to get immediate playing time is ridiculous.
And for guys who don't remember, Hurts is graduated. Jalen Hurts is a graduate, so he's good to go.
Yeah. More interest like our offseason in the NFL is what I think this is going to be with college football.
But the other side of it is, and I know that we get these texts and we see it on social media, and you just got to get your head around it. You know, it's not the football we grew up watching. You know, I mean, it's not like the old days, which was kind of like the Wild West. Where you see
where guys stick and stay? Is that what you mean?
You know, or the recruiting process. Like, think about like Marcus Dupree, how he was all the teams vying for him and all that. And then his career was a hot mess.
Yeah.
Now these kids realize, you know, these coaches, they can go anywhere they want. They've got a flexibility which you don't have. Now the players have got a little more, got to be honest with you, they got more ground to stand on in this. They've got a little more juice, which they've never had before.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. I want to remind you, join Camus Cognac. And Hugh Douglas today from 6 till 8. It's at Stars and Strikes off of Roswell Road in Sandy Springs. Plenty of family fun at Stars and Strikes with bowling, bumper cars, laser tag, arcade games, and much more. Plus, you can register, okay, to win 92.9 The Game's swag, and they'll be out there. Some swag will be out there. Compliments of Camu, but the game, it's the Game Day Cognac, by the way, but the official sponsor of 92.9 The Game's Game Bowl Paper Football Championship. So Hugh's going to be out there again tonight from 6 to 8. Stop by, say what's up to Big Hugh, and he'd love to get a chance to meet you. And if you get a chance, stop by and maybe have some Camu.
Camu, the Game Day Cognac. You got to read it just like that. Now, as far as transferring, I mentioned the story earlier. The kid's name is a safety for Notre Dame, Alohi Gilman. He began his career at the Naval Academy at Annapolis, decides to transfer after his freshman season because he wants to pursue an NFL career.
Yeah.
So the problem with that is you sign on to a military academy, you're supposed to be there for four seasons, you know, or for 4 years. You're supposed to graduate.
Yeah, I will say this, though. The military academy, if you don't want to be there, they don't want you there.
Correct.
Okay. So, I mean, listen, as crazy as that sounds, they're not going to force this kid's
hand.
And
kids transfer out. I mean, kids do transfer out of the service academies.
Yeah.
But what made this one so interesting is he's going to Notre Dame. And there's a bunch of folks, and again, this kind of, they called him a coward for doing this, but they were cowardly enough to not put their name on the letter they addressed to him. They had said anonymous veterans. It's made the news. It's on USA Today today. You can check it out. But it is a little bit different set of circumstances. Generally, that's supposed to be the commitment you are going to honor.
Yeah, if you, and we've seen guys who have been at the academy, okay, the David Robinsons of the world, who go on to be professionals in their sport, but they follow through with their commitment.
And in some cases, the service academy or the services will actually make accommodations. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we've talked about it here with Garland, you know, with the Air Force. And sometimes there's guys, who was a Chad? There's a player on the Cowboys who was also Air Force. So there's a bunch of dudes that have had some flexibility. Roger Staubach had to wait, you know, eventually before he finally got his shot in the NFL.
Hey, it's time for another code word to win $1,000 right now on Dukes and Bell.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Moose. You ever see a moose up close?
Never personal? Seen a moose, man.
They're huge, man. M-O-O-S-E, moose.
Was this part of your Alaskan sojourn?
It was. It was, man.
Moose.
Three different trips up there. It was incredible. But, yeah, moose crosses the road, and the bus driver's like, we're going to have to stop until he finishes crossing the road.
Yeah, they got big antler things. Hey, man, hit moose to 72881. Chad Hennings, by the way, was the Cowboy.
Thank you.
By way of the USAF.
All right, guys. We're going to talk about what Trae Young had to say. Some of you don't buy in as of yet. I do, and I'll let you hear what he had to say next.
.com.
Hey, quick reminder, congratulations is going to go out to some lucky listener who's going to win Super Bowl experience tickets. Now you're going, wait a minute. Some lucky listener, yes, it could be you. All you need to do is listen to the sounder. It's going to happen at the Georgia World Congress Center. Super Bowl experience is driven by Hyundai, and it's interactive, guys. It's a lot of fun. Free autographs from NFL players. You can take the photo or a photo with the Vince Lombardi trophy. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on down there. Superbowl.com for more information. But we've got tickets for you. So listen to the sounder. Be the first caller, and you're going to win. Hey, what's going on the website with that thing I saw earlier?
Yeah, man, speaking of Super Bowl, Knox, who does a great job with our website with 92.9thegame.com, said, hey, you know, you're a food guy. I'm like, well, let's hear them up for my stomach. Yes, I am. So he said, let's give me your five top restaurants for Super Bowl week, and just basically not just for the Super Bowl, Carl. It could be for any time of the year. So we did a little video for that. That's up at 92.9thegame.com. And some honorable mention I put up on the link at Mike Bell ATL, because it's hard to like. It's picking your favorite children with all the restaurants that we go to. But
he only asked for five?
Well, I mean, you know, I had to do it in like 3 minutes. Okay. That's always the magic number for video stuff. But anyway, maybe you and I could do a restaurant podcast one day. But it's up there at 92.9thegame.com. There's a lot of great restaurants, obviously. Tough to narrow it down to five, but we tried.
Yeah, I'd love to do that, man. And I'll be honest, I'm more into the would be more into the cocktail aspect of it, because so many great restaurants around Atlanta now have great mixologists and great cocktail menus. So, anyways, we're dreaming, Mike.
Well, no, that's going to be the one we're going to do next week. We're going to do like, yeah, apparently it's going to be a thing now. So, hey, it's cool. We're all about the content. Although, real quick, before we get to some NFL.
Well, he's only going to ask you for five, though.
Yeah, well, I can do that. I can, well, 15. Well, actually, you know, again, it's tough, man, with all the drinking we do. But anyway, guys, it's be less drinking for me for the next few weeks. I got my physical back. All the blood work, everything came back today.
Yeah, you're normal, though, right?
Well, normal. Well, mentally normal? Probably not. But no, the blood pressure's normal.
Okay.
Cholesterol's a little high. Blood sugar's a little high. Everything's a little high. So I'm going to have to get a little healthier in the next few weeks.
All right. How are you going to do that? You going to Vegas this weekend?
Yeah, I was
going
to say, the timing is not exactly optimal because is it worse? I sent this on Twitter. A lot of people said, could be worse. You're going to come back from Vegas and then you go on to the doctor. Then everything would have spiked.
That's true.
But yeah, man, just try to get healthier, brother. You know, you and me both. But Dr. Bobby says it's Lipitor time.
Uh-oh.
And I am the human side effect. So by the end of the show, I could be sounding like Rosie Perez and I've grown a tail.
All right. Are you on it now or are you going to be?
I'm on it already.
Okay. That's why he's acting this way, Bo.
I feel like this is 2010. I've literally worked with Mike when his cholesterol was way too high.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go on Lipitor.
Right.
And then I had to hear him complain about it every day. This is like deja vu.
I know. I mean, look, we all got to get healthier. If you hit the big 4-0, it's tough to take the weight. If you hit the big 5-0, and I got to lose 30 pounds. So I'm like, well, can we just do liposuction? Can we get a liposuction deal in the house? You and I can get a twofer.
Yeah, I've told you, and I hope this is the message you need. I really do. I hope Dr. Bobby has given you the message, delivered the message you need to make a change.
You're from Texas. You're good with arts and crafts and stuff and hammer and nails. What if we get a shop vac and X-Acto knife? Maybe you could do some liposuction at home.
You might not survive.
No, I mean, how hard can that be? Yeah, I see these ads for freezing the fat off. How does that work? Anyway, so there you go. A new healthy. I know you guys are all in your car going, yeah, right. Anyway, well, we'll try.
All right. Listen, man, I am on your side. I'm here to help you. You want to go for a drink after work? 404-741-0929. That's our text number.
Enabler.
All right. I am not going to do that. If you are wanting to better yourself, Mike, I am all about it. You notice I've been quiet because I've not said anything.
Mm-hmm.
The deal is I've learned when you start telling people, right, that you're trying to do that, it's so constant, and I think it becomes harder. You can tell your close friends, obviously, but when you're telling people, I think it just becomes one of those things that you constantly think about, and now instead of just like, you know what, I'm not going to eat that, or I'm not going to drink that,
right?
It's right there.
Domino's brought all the food yesterday. I go out there today. No sooner do I come out of the studio today, and there's a whole box of Krispy Kreme sitting out there staring at me.
Oh,
the
box, Krispy Kreme?
Yeah, the box opened and smells like, oh. So luckily, Knox goes, I'll take it from here. So Knox did me a favor.
I tell you what.
The remaining six.
Yeah, I'm glad they were gone when I got here. I didn't know that. We talked about this the other day. I haven't had Krispy Kremes in forever. Hey, let's talk some NBA guys, because two guys that are playing really well for our Hawks right now were in our last draft. Kevin Huerter, Maryland. Trae Young, Oklahoma. And we know that a lot of folks are still wondering whether Trae Young is going to blossom into this incredible star that we hope he can be. It's his first year, and you know, I don't want to rush to judgment, but I want you to hear Kevin Huerter, first of all, talking about the impact of Vince Carter. He was on the morning show with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. It's on the website at 929thegame.com, but here's what he had to say about Vince Sanity.
You know, Vince is really an extension of the coaching staff, and for as many stories as he tells us off the court, it's, you know, a lot of his wisdom and his teaching comes within, like, our game scheming, and, you know, when we're going over scouting reports, he knows coaches in this league and literally what type of actions and plays that specific coaches run.
So, yeah, I think we kind of realize that. Here's the thing, though. Vince has actually been giving us some pretty good minutes.
Right.
At his age, I didn't expect him to play as much as he is playing. And I remember we talked to him, I want to say it was the Emory training facility. We went over there for media day. And Vince was like, yeah, I came here because I actually want to play, and they're going to allow me to do that. But it's cool to hear Kevin Huerter talk about the influence that Vince Carter's having. He also talked about how they have to learn how to finish, Mike. This is interesting.
There were still a lot of games at the beginning of the year that, you know, we were right there, and we didn't finish games. There's a lot of guys, like I said, that are playing a lot better individually, which has allowed our team to play a lot better with each other. And so we're definitely players-wise, I think, whole organization excited to get everybody out on the court to really kind of figure out how good we are this year.
I know we all want to, you know, get to RJ or Zion. We've been having fun with that. But, I mean, boy, Travis Schlenk, this could be, as you said earlier, the forgotten guy in that draft class. Because Trae Young, we're seeing him emerge, and, you know, he's putting up some big numbers. John Collins is just becoming one of the best players in the Eastern Conference under the radar, other than we know it here in Atlanta. But the thing about Huerter, you know, you say, oh, a little skinny guy, what's he going to do? He takes charges, he plays defense, he moves his feet, he doesn't get, you know, it's not like you can just walk around the guy like he's a cone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The guy's got some athleticism, and obviously he can hit the perimeter jumper.
Yeah, I like his game a lot. When you see the numbers, and, you know, every now and then it'll pop up, Huerter, 25, and you're like, who? A kick and shoot, and that's why they drafted him out of Maryland. Here's Trae Young, guys. I don't know what your thought process is on Trae at this point. You know, we're not even literally to the All-Star break. I've been pleasantly surprised, Mike, with his ability to get other guys involved. And Travis Schlenk said, listen, we drafted him because of that. It was his playmaking ability to get other guys involved. When you have a great point guard who gets guys involved, guys want to come play with you, you know, and he's not a ball hog or anything of that nature. People thought because he led the NCAA last year in scoring, he was going to come here and shoot the ball 50 times. He's not doing any of that. Here's Trae Young.
I belong in this league, and I can compete with anybody in this league on any given night, and that's just what I got from that. And Everybody knows Russell was the MVP a few years ago, and he's been playing at such a high level lately. And it's so I think it just showed that, I mean, I can play compete at a high level.
He's talking about Russell Westbrook, obviously. They were here the other night, Mike and I were at that game. And, you know, again, I don't know if you amp yourself up to play against a guy like that who's an MVP and set NBA records, but he's saying, listen, you play against those guys and you realize I do belong here. You know, I'm okay.
I mean, I think if there's one thing with Trey, we've talked a lot about it, more consistency with the three-point shot, and he certainly was 4 from 9 the other night, and making good decisions with the ball. And then also, you know, just a little more defense, or just is that never going to be his part of his calling card?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I want to see – this is my thing when I watch NBA guys, depending on who it is. But, you know, you should see improvement every year. And for example, you know, every year the greats, and I'm hoping that Trey turns into one of these guys, they do something that makes them better the next season. So, you know, I don't know if he's just getting his footing, Mike, and saying, you know what, let me get a feel for this thing, and then maybe I'll get better at the defensive side of things. I don't know, but I hope that that comes true.
The good news is, guys, and we talked about this after the – what it was, electric atmosphere. You missed our conversation yesterday, beating the Thunder. We know what the big idea is. The big picture is to get down and get the more transformative guys. But you're already seeing it. You're hearing the conversation from Trae Young that we've got a lot of really good pieces already. You know, and just you're going to need, obviously, we're going to build, we're going to need some more. And then once you get to the point where you can augment that with the free agents that make the right sense, you're going to see this team probably make some trades or move some guys off the roster before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
You know, a guy like Jeremy Lin, for instance, you know, we talked about Bayes' deal isn't all that bad, but still, does he really fit your long-term plans now? No. So there'll be some guys and some moves to be made. So I wouldn't worry right now about us winning for those folks who now bought into our line about we must get to Zion.
All right. It is Dukes and Bell. Kyrie Irving, the other big NBA news, apologizes basically to LeBron and says he called LeBron to get some advice because LeBron had to, you know, tried to tell him when they were in Cleveland about learning how to win and being a young guy. Listen to what Kyrie Irving said.
I'll tell you one thing, and obviously this is something that it was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that, and, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people. And Bron was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship, and it was hard for him. And sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
Somebody asked me, they said, Dukes, do you think that he's saying this because at some point, you know, he wants to maybe team back up with LeBron? No, I just think he's owning up, Mike, to things that happen as you grow and you mature, and now it's his team in Boston.
He only had 1 year at Duke, you know, before he went pro, obviously, he's such a talent. I think it's awesome. I mean, he's 26. I mean, what's that line now? 26 is the new 21? Because a lot of guys, it takes a minute now to grow up, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. If guys want to – that you're going to lose respect for him because he's being a man, he's being an adult, and he's saying, hey, man, I wish I could have been more, you know, a little more mature and understand what was trying to go on here. I think it's pretty cool.
I do, too. I got more respect for Kyrie. First of all, putting it out there in the public. He could have kept that private. He could have been like, yeah, you know, I talked to some people. He name-dropped and said I had to call Bron. So, interesting stuff there, man. One last thing, DeMarcus Cousins. This is why people hate Golden State. Remember in the offseason, they picked up DeMarcus Cousins, one of the best players in the NBA. He's coming off that Achilles injury. Cousins talking about why they are the most hated team.
Don't really pay us attention to storylines. I mean, they're going to say what they have to say. They're going to have their opinions. We're the most hated team in sports. So
you think you're the most hated team in sports?
I
would say that there are a lot of people in this country who love to hate the Yankees or the Cowboys.
Put us up there. I would say the Warriors are for sure. You know, they hate Kevin. They hate me. I think the only guy that really likes is Steph. They may hate him as well. They hate Draymond. But, I mean, it is what it is. So
he's absolutely right. I mean, you know, everybody – we see the people when Golden State comes here for the one game, all the little kids from the burbs wearing their there's only one guy they're really pulling for. He's right about that. That is interesting. I would have to agree with, like, 99% of what he just said.
I do, too. And we like Steph because he's unassuming. Hey, yeah, man, no man.
Steph's a biracial angel. There's that mass appeal.
That's what I said. Yeah, man, no man is on the way.
Yeah, man, no man on Dukes and Bell.
Come on. You can get with this or you can get with that.
We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. And sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
All right, Bo Morgan, let's get to it. Yeah, man, no, man. We got Falcon Report on the way. Mike and I having a passionate conversation about the free agents and where we need to go. Stay tuned. You'll hear it coming up. What's up, Bo?
All right, so we have Bobby Hebert on later today. And when I was booking Bobby, I made a classic error. You guys ever text someone and then fall asleep and you sleep all night and you wake up and you check your phone, right?
Yeah.
Do you have to check your phone? That's the premise of this. I check my phone immediately when I wake up and I text Bobby back and I screw up the time zones because Bobby's in the central. So basically he had texted me late at night, no telling what Bobby was doing. But yeah, man, no, man, having to check your phone first thing in the morning.
Well, I mean, I'm so irresponsible. That's probably like my third thing after, you know, PP and coffee.
Glad you were honest there, Mike.
Yeah.
First thing, here's what I will say this. There was a point where the answer would have been, maybe a few years ago, the answer would have been yes. I am trying to make a habit of not being a slave to my phone, as so many of us are. We spend like half of our day looking at our phone screens. I mean, I know you don't realize it, but if you like actually timed it out, it might even be more than that. So to answer your question, I get to it, but it's not immediately. It's not the first thing I do when I get out of bed. It might be 15, 30, 40 minutes before I actually pick the phone up and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why sometimes, Mike, and here's our problem, and I'm just from what we do, there's something always happening in the world of sports for us. And what happens with us is, even on vacation, it's like you've got to physically think about, put the phone down because you want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we get into these habits. It may not be you, but maybe just, you know, if your job like ours requires that you're in the know, it's hard to put the phone down.
I mean, if you're a doctor, if you're a broker, there's always news breaking somewhere around the world that could affect what you do. And I hear you, man. I just crack up. I know that it's the way of the world these days, but it's so funny to be at a restaurant and you look over and you see a couple and they're both on their phones. There's like no real intimacy anymore. Everybody's just kind of just doing their thing. Or you see a bunch of dudes at a bar, there's a bunch of girls right over there, and everybody's on their phone and nobody's actually interacting the old-fashioned way.
And I have real FOMO when it comes to the job. Like, if I've hit a guest up and they respond, whether I'm driving, with dinner with my wife, church, whatever, I feel like I have to respond immediately. So when I saw Bobby text me tonight, I responded immediately, and I screwed up part of the time, which is a crucial part of what we do. So anyways, moving right on with Bobby, Bobby is one of the funner guests we have on. So I want to ask you guys, I'm going to give you like an, this is not a yeah man, no man, this is an over-under. I want to give over and under 2.5 minutes on Bobby's first answer.
Bobby is one of the great storytellers. He's a raconteur, and he's obviously a blast. We worked together here in Atlanta years ago, then went back to New Orleans where he's a superstar. I'm going to say, you know what? Aside from the salutations or the first time he answers anything we say to him. I mean,
well,
other than, hello, Bobby, how you doing? You're saying 2 minutes right off the jump?
Yeah.
I'll go a minute and a half, Carl.
It's tough.
Like, Price is Right, without going over.
You said a minute and a half?
He's got two. I got a minute and a half, so you got to find the difference.
What's the difference? All right, I'll go a minute 40, okay?
All right, there you go.
By the way, let me ask you this. Is he better or worse than Tim Brando with the length of time there? What are we talking about here?
Bobby, so we had Bobby on a long time ago.
Unlike Tim, I find Bobby interesting.
And Mike says, Bobby, welcome to the show. Hey, Mikey, I want to tell you what. And 3.5 minutes later,
okay,
Bobby, and so.
Yeah, that was a record.
It's really just when you speak to Bobby.
Well, there's a bunch of guys like that. That's how Walton is when you get him on the show. Bill Walton's the same way. Hey, Bill, it's good to have you on the show. I was thinking. And he just gets into these rants, and you're like, where the hell did that come from?
18 minutes at the Final Four. We went through a commercial break with him, and he just kept going. And it was, and we never asked him to ask a question. He just jumped in, as you said, and went.
No.
Yeah, he does it during play-by-play. Just ask Dave Pasch.
Oh, poor guy.
That's cold.
All right, so we got our numbers set. Now, pay attention, guys, at 5:20 with a big story. We get the story from the Big Easy on the Saints.
145. I'm going to say no, man, to answer your question about looking at the phone immediately.
No.
Well, I'm an immediate. Antonio Brown has been all over the news with his diva tendencies lately. Well, there's been some investigative work on the internet, and there might be proof that Antonio Brown has gone Kevin Durant.
What?
Yeah, he might have a burner account.
Oh. You know what? It would be fitting if we find out that he's got a burner account defending himself. as somebody else.
So the account is at Michael57692394, also known as MikeyG45.
Okay.
And it was created the other day, and it's especially passionate about how Brown is perceived. This guy is all about Antonio Brown. He uses a hashtag that Brown frequently uses is hashtag call God. Both Brown and Mikey G have some pretty weird tendencies, with both using every and then the number one and the line silence the haters. So Yemen, no man.
So much like a forensic or a sort of a handwriting expert, Carl, you look at how he uses his symbols on Twitter. You know that, yes, that is the same person. I'll say yes. Yeah, man. Antonio Brown strikes me as that kind of a person. Yes.
I think there's a lot of guys out there in the world of sports that have burner accounts. I really do. Because guys are sensitive, so they want to defend themselves. I think this goes on a lot more than what we think. Hell, didn't we have a coach's wife who was doing this or something like that, if I remember correctly?
GM's wife, right?
Yeah. It was Philly,
Brian,
right?
Brian Colangelo's wife.
Colangelo's wife in Philly after he was doing all his stuff.
All right. So, yeah, I'm with Mike. Yeah, man, this is probably Antonio.
I mean, Zach Klein has a burner account. We know about that here in Atlanta.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, it's like, at I love Zach Klein.
I did not know that. I had no idea. What's up, Zach?
Wow.
Congratulations, by the way, on Sportscaster of the Year for the state of Georgia.
Him and Steve.
Him and Steve Holman. Co-winners.
Bang!
Co-winners this year.
Bang!
All right. Well, speaking of social media, and I'm sure that Sylvester Stallone has a burner account in some way, shape, or form, probably defending some of the bad things he's done with Rocky. But Carl Weathers turned 71 the other day. Remember Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed?
Right.
And on the Instagram, Sylvester Stallone decided to wish him happy birthday. And then he admits that he wronged Carl Weathers' character Apollo Creed. He says, "I have to admit I regret having Apollo pass away so soon." Well, I don't know. I thought it made good storyline, but yeah, man, no man, did Apollo Creed die too soon?
Well, Carl, I mean, you could argue, yes, he died in the ring doing what he loves, unlike Dylan in Predator, of course, got his arm ripped off by the alien.
The way you create drama in these movies is you got to kill off main characters. I hated it. I hate even thinking about it right now.
Drago, you killed Apollo.
I mean, it was...
Rocky, the musical.
I still hurt right now thinking about Apollo being killed. Was he killed too early? Yes, he was killed too early. But you had to do it to create the drama.
And he didn't die in vain either. I mean, without Apollo dying, Rocky doesn't beat Drago.
That's right.
And the Cold War doesn't end.
If he dies, he dies.
Okay, wait a minute. You know what? Everybody always uses that line about the Cold War ending.
If eyes could change, and news could change, and Gorbachev's could change, we all could change. I stopped the Cold War, Carl.
Yeah, I've heard.
This is real as a moon landing, all right? We saw it.
Okay. I've heard many people talk about this.
The fights in Russia?
Anyway. Although, the training for that fight, for Rocky, pretty kick-ass.
Do it in the montage. He's going up the mountain, and he's got the...
But nothing
pushing the ox cart, chopping the trees down, all that stuff.
And I don't know if it's because of that musical connection, but nothing beats Rocky's training in Rocky 3.
But don't
Eye the Tiger? Nothing.
Don't forget the part where he leaves the Russians that were spying on him in the car.
And he just takes off, man.
If you went and saw this back when it came out, you wanted to go train.
Right. Well, maybe not me so much. I don't do legs. I'm not a leg guy, Carl. I got to be honest with you.
Bo Morgan, what was the question? He died too early. Yeah, man. Sorry, I got caught up in
Predator, his entire arm comes off, but the trigger finger's still going on the machine.
Different character, Mike.
Dylan, what happened to you?
Apollo is an institution in Rocky.
I woke up.
Falcon Report on the way, guys, and Bobby Hebert. We got the over-under on how long he will speak after asking him one question, or maybe just welcome him to the show. We'll see. It's next.
Get to the chopper!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.